listening to the Always Forward Leadership Podcast,
featuring the leadership of Ron Kitchens.
The topics discussed today are designed
to keep you moving always forward.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us today for the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. I'm here with Ron Kitchens, and today we're discussing a topic that I know from working with him is of utmost importance in his leadership, and that's great customer service. So no matter where you work, everyone has customers to serve. It may be customers who buy your products, constituents who vote for you, or students who count on you for a great education. But Ron, again, I know this topic is important to you. It's important to our team. What are your initial thoughts?
Customers are everything. Without customers, nothing else works. You know, Henry Ford was famous for saying, I don't pay the employees, the customers do. John Maxwell says, put people first, add value to people, they'll come back and add value to you. Serve people, they'll come back and serve you. This applies to everything we do, even if you're not in the retail business. So you may have customers, they may be internal, they may be external, they may be board members or stakeholders or students or constituents, but you have a group of people who must buy your product, service, or capacity, or you're out of work. Your company ceases to exist. Your right to participate in the economy begins to evaporate if you're not serving other people. I read once that for a recording artist to make a living, they've got to sell 400,000 units of their record, their album, CD, whatever we're calling it these days. They have to have 400,000 customers for every one of those, or they just simply are no longer viable as a business. And those artists creating that probably don't think of their fans as customers, but if they don't treat them in that way, they're going to find they no longer have the ability or the right to participate in the economy. And I think we all have to understand that. You know, it may be your customer, if you're responsible for making sure the copier stays full at work, your customers, everyone who uses the copier, it's those people that you serve. And so I think it's critically important that every leader understand they have customers and understand that it's their honor and privilege to get to serve those customers.
So with that being said, you know, we all have customers to serve, but why do you think that so many people struggle with customer service then? Why can it be so hard? You know, it's not uncommon to hear people complaining about their customers, but if we don't exist without them, why do we keep missing that?
Funny, early in my career, in my city management days, I had a responsibility for a golf course, and the golf course manager had left employment with the city, and so I ended up running the golf course at kind of the critical time of the year, at the kickoff, spring of golf season. Not being a very good golfer and knowing absolutely nothing about golf, I spent a lot of time at the golf course learning about running this business because it's really critical that you get the grass correct in the spring if you want grass in the fall. So I met with the greenskeepers, and in this case, it was three guys that really shared that duty and were passionate about it. And I said, well, what are the real issues here for you? And they spent 30 minutes telling me about how awful the golfers were, how the golfers tore up the grass and how the golfers drove their golf carts across the grass and how the golfers left divots, and they hated them. And it truly was that case of they had no idea who their customers were. They thought their job was to grow grass for the sake of growing grass. They'd completely forgotten that the only reason they existed, the only reason that grass was ever planted, the only reason they had jobs is so people could play golf on it. And it was interesting. They never really got that. As much as we talked about it and as much as they loved growing grass, they never realized who their customers were. And we had to make changes because of that. And it was really hard. And so I'm not sure how people get into a business where they either forget who their customers are or forget what it's like to be a customer. And I think that's a lot of what happens is people forget what great service feels like and how it makes you feel loyal and how incredible that is, and to want to give that feeling to folks. So you got to put yourself in a position to experience great customer service, to remind yourself that most of the time it doesn't take extra time to do it. It just takes extra commitment and passion that you're going to put your effort around loving people and not the process.
Yeah, those are really, really good points on this topic. I think you're right that people just forget, and sometimes we just need a reminder. And experiencing great customer service is such a good reminder and such a good motivator to give that back to others. So I want to transition a little bit and talk about some specific examples of good customer service. I think this is something Southwest Michigan First does really well, and I know that's because we put a huge emphasis on it. Can you talk a little bit about some of the things that our team specifically does to focus on customer service?
Yeah, first thing you have to do is exceed expectations. Now, that seems like one of those things that would cost money, but to tell you the truth, people's expectations oftentimes are far too low. And so simply by going above and beyond, doing a little something extra, there's a term that we use a lot called Lanyap. And Lanyap is a term, the only place I've ever known it to be used is New Orleans. And so it originated there. It's the only place I've ever seen it in print. And it's a little something extra. So what it means, it's a Lanyap. It's a little, don't worry about it. It's just a little something extra for you. You know, if you're at a restaurant, it would be the equivalent of a moose boosh, just a little taste from the chef for free. So exceeding expectations. You know, we've got, I don't know how many flavors of tea we have now at the office, but there must be 30 flavors of tea. Well, it just doesn't cost us much to have those flavors of tea. But when you come in, I bet we have your flavor. And if we don't, and we think you're coming back, the next time we will. Cost us a couple of bucks to have that, but we're exceeding expectations. We're exceeding the standard set by the norm, which frankly, in most cases, has gone down over the last decade for people. So for us, it's pretty easy to exceed those expectations. And it's got to be organization-wide. We've all been to places. You know, I just had to go to the License Bureau to get my license plates renewed. And Michigan has got this great online system that you can get it done, but you have to actually get it done by the correct date. And yeah, I missed the date. So I had to go in and stand in line. Well, I have a habit of missing that date for my auto license annual renewal. And so I now know exactly which of the state license bureaus that I want to go to. And I know the specific lady that I want to go to, because she's very nice and has this great attitude. But I know, because I've had to do other things there, that some of the other people don't have that attitude. So in this last case, they make you take a number and you wait in line. I traded my number till I could get the lady I wanted and kept letting people go ahead of me, because I knew that was the one person who would be nice to me. They could all give me the sticker for my license plate, but I wanted a better experience than that. We can't be an organization that allows that, because the second someplace opens, a license bureau opens where everybody's nice, that's where the whole world's going to go, is going to evolve to that, where everybody exceeds expectations. So you've got to create that. But you also have to understand that the experience starts at the beginning. And let me explain. So I have a great friend, Reed Ryan, who's the president of the Houston Astros. I've known Reed for almost 20 years. And so I knew him when he started back, and he's the founder of a couple of different minor league teams. Reed, some people may know him. He used to be a host on ESPN's A Hunting and Fishing Show. But one of the things that Reed taught me was, if you're going to build the customer's experience, it doesn't start when they come into the baseball stadium. It doesn't start when, at that time, the Round Rock Express in Texas, when they got inside the ticket gate. The experience started in the parking lot. It actually started with the person that helped them turn into the parking lot. And then the experience moved them from the parking lot to the crosswalk. It moved them from the crosswalk to the gate. It began with the smells they began to smell at the ballpark. It began with the excitement in the air. It began with the visuals they saw. Their happiness for the day was determined before they ever went through the turnstile. Didn't matter what took place on the field. It didn't matter what the score of the game was. Whether they were a satisfied customer or not began at the beginning. And that's something that we all forget. It's that first impression. If you came into our offices, you would meet with our concierge. Now, she's not our front desk person. She's not a secretary. She's a concierge because her role is to help you solve your problem. Just like a concierge at a hotel who not only has the knowledge to solve your problem, but has the knowledge to ask good questions to potentially give you a better solution than you even knew existed. That's what great customer service looks and feels like. Most people can't afford or choose not to afford to go stay at a Ritz-Carlton hotel, but you can afford to go have a cup of coffee at one. And I encourage people, when you're traveling, if you've got one in your community, go to a Ritz-Carlton hotel, have a cup of coffee or a drink at the bar, and just observe the levels of customer service. Observe the levels of commitment to your happiness, whether they know you're in the presidential suite or you've just come in to get a drink. You will be treated with levels of care and love that go far beyond any other hotel you've probably ever been at. Now, the important thing to note, Ritz-Carlton doesn't pay their employees any more than any other comparable hotel. They just hire people who are hardwired to treat other people that way. And that's a big part of customer service, too. Don't expect people to act unauthentic to their own hardwiring.
So you mentioned the Ritz-Carlton, and they're known for that motto, "We're ladies and gentlemen serving ladies and gentlemen," which I think drives a lot of what you're talking about with their great customer service. But what other organizations have you seen that show really great customer service?
We study lots of organizations for customer service because we find those that have great customer service also have great cultures. And we believe that culture is what drives success to the point that we've used culture. So we're in the economic development business, or one of our groups is in the economic development business. And we believe great customer service translates into great culture, which translates into more profitable companies. So one of the things we've done as a value add is helped our companies, whether they're manufacturing, whether they're back office processing, whether they're education, we've helped them get access to the best strategies that are available because we want them to be incredible because it translates into more profitability and more jobs. So, you know, we've studied the Ritz-Carlton an immense amount. Hort Schultze has taken time, who's the founder of Ritz-Carlton, taken time to sit down, meet with us, speak about it. Chick-fil-A is another great company that they don't say you're welcome when you thank them. They say it's my pleasure. You know, they spend millions of dollars every year internally evaluating their own customer service. We've got a local company, Greenleaf Trust, who have wowzars and who spend time working and creating wow points for their customers. Now, could they just run ads on TV and say, come do business with this because you should be scared you don't have enough money to retire? They could. That's what the industry standard does. But it's not who they are. They believe if they create these wow points, and that it's not some special event, although it could be, but it's about remembering who you are and what's important to you, that you're more likely to do business with them. But just as we talked about, companies that have better customer service also have higher financial rewards. Companies know that if they invest in you, and you absorb those higher standards, you have higher success indices. So this becomes a circle of success. And that really is what it's all about when we look at customer service. How do we ensure that everyone wins?
So there are times that in spite of our very best efforts that we simply have to say no, or we can't serve someone because it's so far outside of our mission or expertise. And we've talked about that before on the podcast, and I know you've written about that in your blog, Ron, the difficulty that it is to say no. So how should we as leaders handle the situation when we don't actually feel we can serve someone well?
So the easy thing would say, sometimes you got to fire customers. And it's true. There are customers that you're not a match for. And they know it, or maybe they don't know it, but you know it. And you've got to have an honest discussion with yourself first. So, you know, we recently had a situation where, you know, we had a member of our team who just couldn't gel with the customer. So we switched the member of the team. And lo and behold, the next person couldn't gel with that customer either. So I interceded, met with the customer, and by the end of it said, listen, the cost of you being our customer is too much. And it isn't the individual transaction, is you're killing our soul. You're killing what's important to us, and I just can't allow that. And it's costly. It doesn't go without cost, but it is a short-term cost. I can take those same resources and I can replicate them with somebody who's going to give us more joy to serve them versus somebody who is never happy. This isn't just a business or cultural or church or not-for-profit issue. It's behaviors that say, and some people are just hardwired to believe that I want to push boundaries and see how far I can push you. And they become very transactional about it. And we're just not very good at transactional. And customer service isn't very good at transactional. So we want to build long-term relationships. So as a point leader, you have to either give people permission on your team to fire the customer, or you have to be willing to draw lines and step in yourself to say, at some point, having that person in our lives is damaging our culture, our capacity, and that there are other markets for those resources. And it's really hard to say goodbye. Dr. Henry Cloud has a great book called Necessary Endings. And so I encourage people to read that book where it talks about life experiences, but you also have to be prepared to have necessary endings. And with great customer service, it happens.
So before we send off for today, do you have any closing thoughts on this topic of how to have great customer service?
Yeah, so one of my certainly creative heroes is Steve Jobs. There's lots of things you can criticize Steve Jobs for, but you can't criticize him for his creativity and his anticipation. And he had a great quote that says, get closer than ever to your customers, so close that you tell them what they need before they realize it themselves. That comes off a little jaded, but the fact of the matter is, you know, we can go back to a famous quote that's purported to be from Henry Ford that says, if I'd have given my customers what they wanted, I'd have raised faster horses. You as a leader, you as an organization, have got to so understand the needs, wants, and desires of your customer and to serve them with all that passion that you know before they do how to raise those standards, how to treat them better, how to provide them with something that in some cases they didn't know existed or didn't know still existed. So I challenge people to just anticipate and, if nothing else, love your customers every day.
Thanks for joining us for the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. We hope today's insights will help you develop into the leader you dream to be. To subscribe to Ron's blog or to submit a question for Ron to discuss in a future podcast, visit ronkitchens.com or tweet him at ronkitchens.